this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Morning everyone, my name is Michal and it's my privilege to share the word this morning. I always get an opportunity to share the word when all the pastors are gone. So I've just asked the sound guys to put off the recording so there won't be any recording. It's a blank check. I actually thought of sending you all home to go and pray at home. But maybe they'll catch me with that one. So yeah, it is a privilege and thank you to the leadership in their aanwesigheid. And apologies if I put a few Afrikaans words in between. It's just for the Afrikaans speaking people this morning. I will share a very basic word. So I'm going to urge you, ask you very nicely, especially the older Christians, not to switch off. Do not allow your brain to say, now I've heard this before, I've got this covered. Because the truth is that God's truth is so deep, you can never get to the bottom of it. Never, ever. So even though you've heard this before, please allow the Spirit to enlighten you. We had a very powerful intercession beforehand, and God established this as well, that this word is for young Christians, but it's also for older ones. It is simplistic, but it is powerful nonetheless. So there's a lot of stuff happening in church at present, and I've got to urge in my spirit that we cannot just run if our foundations aren't set up. So as we go higher, we need to make sure that our foundation is solid. There's lots of activities, lots of people getting saved, lots of church plants, but we need to make sure that our foundation is solid. So as we go higher, we also go deeper. Amen? So that's why the previous slide, a strong foundation, our identity in Christ this morning. So just five things by means of introduction. I've already urged you to make sure of your foundation. I'm also sensing a lot of in my own life, but also in the people around me. Let's call it a comparison with the world. So a warning this morning, we are in this world, not from it. Yes, we should have unsaved friends, but do not allow them to form your identity. It happens very easy. So do not compare yourself to the world. Do not allow the world to form your identity. So with this, I would say it's a form of an attack. Madeleine and the intercessors agree. It's an attack on identity. It's one of the most effective means of disarming a Christian is just to switch off the Christian's identity. So this morning we're just going to reflect on identity. And then for the families, the mothers and fathers here this morning, please listen to the word also from the perspective of establishing and affirming your child's identity in Christ. Okay, so also listen to it from that perspective. If your child is still in your tummy, then you can start praying over that. If your child isn't born yet, you can already impart in the Spirit to that unborn child that is still to come. So this morning, very basic word. I'm not going to be long, so I'm going to ask you to focus, stay with me. The next slide, that's a tree in our garden, and what happened there is I believe the tree grew fast and its root system wasn't strong enough. So just to reflect on the purpose of today, we cannot grow to these high and lofty places if our root system isn't strong enough. Then you'll just be like that tree that will topple over if the challenges come. So this morning we're just going to make sure our roots are strong. We're just going to go a little bit deeper. So unfortunately, we see a lot of this amongst Christians that come into the kingdom, they just run too fast without establishing their identity. But I pray that that will not be true for any one of us. Then, I've used this advert a lot, but I do find it very intriguing that Tag Heuer, on its advert campaign for many years, used the words, "What are you made of?" Okay, so they're advertising a watch, but then they decide to put the question, what are you made of? And I find it very intriguing. It was always on the back of the Time magazine. Why would you advertise a watch and then ask someone, what are you made of? And obviously that is it's a hint. It's a subtle challenge to your identity. Are you going to make it? Are you going to be successful? do you want to join Brad Pitt or Uma Thurman, wear the watch, and then based on what you have, you are someone. That's completely opposite to the kingdom. Okay? So in the world, it's have, do, be. And in the kingdom, it's be, do, have. Meaning, in the world, what you have, what you own, determines what you do, determines who you are. But in the kingdom, it's the opposite. Who we are determines what we do, and that ultimately leads to what you own or what you have. So it's just interesting that the world understands identity and the importance thereof in a fake way, but they do understand the power thereof, especially marketers, and sometimes we don't. So the world is constantly challenging our ideas. So if this morning I ask you, who are you, then people outside of church, and now you're going to say I'm a child of God, but if I were to ask you outside, who are you? You would say I'm an accountant, I'm a technician, I'm a teacher. But those are all stuff you do. It's not who you are. So this morning we're just going to focus on who we are as children of God. Now, a friend of mine in the marketing industry let's call it marketing or creative arts, he always shares the concept of self-branding and how important it is to self-brand you yourself so that it's important in your road to success or building your career. And even though I understand it academically, I differ with it spiritually because 1 Peter says that humble yourself and God will promote you. So we don't need to promote ourselves. We don't need to brand ourselves. Our brand is Christ. It's very simple. And when you allow Christ to brand you and form your identity, that's when people in any case want to listen to you. Why? Because you're confident. Not in yourself, but in Christ in you. You talk with confidence. You assist people. It's all the characteristics that people want in someone will come with Christ. So there's 1 Peter 5, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Okay, so this is all just by means of introduction. I want to say that whose you are determines who you are, and who you are determines what you do. Who you are determines what you do. Whose you are determines who you are. So in the kingdom, there's lots of ships. There's relationship, friendship, stewardship, but the most important one is sonship. Okay, so this morning, I want you to get on the ship with me, sonship. And then before we continue, let's just pray. Jesus, we thank you that this morning we can just reflect on you and awesome power of you and your power in our identity and Christ in us and just this beautiful synergy, you in us and us in you. And we ask that you refresh us, Lord. Speak to us as old Christians and young Christians and remind us of the wonderful truth of the gospel in this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to share on just three aspects of our identity. It's legitimacy, adoption, and inheritance. And if you've read these scriptures, it's especially for you. So please don't switch off. Galatians 3, verse 1 to 7. This only I want to know from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of the faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Especially for older Christians like myself. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? No. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Therefore, know that only those who are of the faith are sons of Abraham. So, recently I've had this feeling that I'm not qualified. You know, it's that's why I say it's sort of a, let's call it a spiritual attack of some sort. And I'm not sure if there's anyone else here, but then I had to, just in the last month, remind myself that I'm qualified based not on my own works or anything I've done. I'm qualified to be a son of God because of him, because of entering his family through his grace. So that's the wonderful promise for us this morning, that we're all, if you've accepted Christ, you're a son and a daughter of Abraham and of God, as Galatians says. So let's continue. Just the next slide, verse 26, Galatians 3. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abram's seeds and heirs according to the promise. So that's the wonderful freedom we have this morning. I'm just laying a foundation that we've moved from legalism into freedom, and we should enjoy our sonship. We should enjoy us being part of this family. So who of you had issues when you entered the kingdom? And who of you think you still have some issues? I'm one of those people, and I want you all to raise your hands. We all have issues, but our issues has nothing to do with us being legitimate children of Christ. There's no prerequisite, there's no condition. So I just want that truth to wash over you again, because Satan hates us understanding this truth. And at the end, I'm just going to give you a little bit of a warning, because as we enter into a greater understanding of this truth, you do enter the spiritual radar, and then there's some challenges that come with that, but I'll show you what Jesus did. So God has no stepchildren, He has no half-children. If you are in, you're in. Amen? So if there's anyone that's not in the family yet this morning, it would really be my privilege to pray with you afterwards and allow him to, or allow you to enter his family, because it is a wonderful family to be part of. So just a little picture of John William. And when I look at this, I just want to reiterate or emphasize the truth that nothing that he does or does not do will change that he is my son ever. Nothing will change that. And so we understand this in the natural, but sometimes we struggle with it in the spiritual. You sin or you say something that you didn't want to say, and then suddenly you feel you're no longer a son, or your identity is a bit damaged. But in the natural, children understand this, that no matter what they break or on what they draw, they will stay your children. And John 8 verse 36, if the Son has made you free, you are free indeed. And when this truth, when you really understand this truth and when you hear it for what it is, it should impact your whole being. It should give you a head spin or goosebumps to understand that we are free, completely free of all sin, of all condemnation. Okay? Tell the guy next to you, free. Free. So this morning we're really privileged to have a special lady with us. Did any of you know that this beautiful lady here is a granddaughter of Thabo Mbeki? Stand up, I want them to see you. Did you guys know it? Okay, she isn't really, she's not playing along with me. But if she was, do you think your perspective of her would have changed right now? Yes? You would have looked at it differently. Maybe afterwards you would have said, listen, can I make you a coffee? Can we have a coffee date in the week or whatever? But if I tell you that Josh, this guy is actually a son of the living God of the whole universe. This guy. So we've got a granddaughter of Thabo here, make it Nelson, and we've got a son of the most high living God of the whole universe. So I can go through each one of you in this hall. Thanks, Josh. And so if we were going to look differently at her, why don't we look extremely differently to this man? And so the lady next to you, the man next to you, is a son or a daughter of the most high God. It is an amazing privilege to be with you all in this hall this morning. It's like, it's even better than sitting in the hall with all the famous people in the world. If we got how many people are we here? 80 odd. We chose the 80 most famous people in the world right now. Then sitting with you is a greater privilege. Sitting with children of the Most High. That's a truth. That's a privilege we have this morning. So, you know, rich kids understand this, that their inheritance and their heritage gives them confidence. So there's a lot of research why rich kids are successful. And the theory is that it's not because they have money, it's because they know where they come from that gives them confidence, and then they go and make money. Okay? So the same applies to us. If we know where we come from, we know who our Father is, we will be successful in the kingdom. And I still remember with Misha's birth, when she came out, and for those of you with children, the first time is really, it blows your mind to go through that experience. So it blew my mind. I still thought I was going to pass out, which I almost did. But in that moment, I thought, when I saw her, I thought, I've never experienced this much love to a something or a person ever. And as I had that thought, God spoke to me immediately and He said, if you feel about her like this, think how much I love you. Because His love is perfect. I'm still an imperfect father. So I experienced this love, and then God said, okay, take that and multiply that with, and that's how I feel about you. So that was one of the highlights in my life in terms of understanding how God feels about not just me, but all of you. So the men, when you see your child coming out there the first time, that love, and when you hold her or him, try to remind this, that feeling you get, it literally feels like your heart's going to explode. It's an amazing experience. And then just remember that God is, he loves you even more than that. So Galatians 4 verse 6 to 7, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons in Christ. And because, next slide, and because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So, once again, we have the privilege of calling the God of the universe Father, Abba. And there are no distinctions in the kingdom. So, it doesn't matter where you came from, what you did prior to entering the kingdom, or what you've done in the meantime, it doesn't change anything. So is there anyone here that's been serving God for more than 20 years? Awesome. Anyone more than 10 years? Great. Anyone that's only been saved in the last year? 6 months? Great. Truth is, it doesn't matter how long you've been in the kingdom, in this family, it doesn't change your status. So it's not like sibling rivalry that we have in the world. We're all equal, we're all qualified, we're all going to inherit the same. And I'm going to talk about the inheritance just hereafter. So there's no voting, there's no fighting, we're in the kingdom. And God, I want to encourage you this morning, God is not intimidated by our sin. So we need to stop thinking like the world does. I struggled with this for, I think, 6 years, where my testimony is that I got saved at a young age, and then I started doing good works. I just wanted to do good works, and I really tried hard. I never smoked until this day, praise God, drank or whatever. I tried to stick on the narrow road. But then in matric, I got extremely tired of good works. And I was actually frustrated because I read what the scripture says and I don't experience that joy and that power. I just experience me working. So I actually just did the exact same thing other people do in their religions, where you become a Hindu and then you just do all the good stuff, or Muslim or whatever. And our faith is extremely opposite. So in matric, a friend of mine came back from the weekend. He stayed in Kleinmond and he surfed and smoked dacha on weekends. That's what he did. So he came back and he looked different and he talked different. So I said, asked him, listen, what happened? He said, you won't believe, I met Jesus and I got spirit-filled over the weekend. I'm like, yes, no, we need to talk about this. I haven't heard about being spirit-filled. And he said, no, I'll tell you later. Because he couldn't talk to me because I'm already saved. So he ran out, and I think that his first break, he got 10 people saved. Second break, I think another 5 people got healed on the rugby field. And then that afternoon, he called the whole school together, and then it was CSV in the hall, and then he testified, and he used to stutter, and his stutter was gone, like in one day. And I told him, no, you need to tell me about this. He said, no, you must come to my house on the weekend, and I did. And so I also got spirit-filled, and then in my first year baptized. And in that process, that spirit of performance, being driven, trying to please God, was broken in my own life. And I still remember, I don't know why, I was walking in Pick and Pay, buying something, and it struck me that I don't have this feeling of trying to please God anymore. I don't know why it happened in Pick and Pay, but I still remember. I was like, wow, that sense of trying to please God is gone. And that's why I've just got a few notes on there, that we shouldn't go from being slaves in the world to being slaves in the kingdom. That's what I did. So I was a slave, an unsaved slave, and I just became a saved slave. We need to move from being slaves to being sons. It's the difference between being driven or being drawn. Driven to action, driven to performance, or drawn to relationship. Those with you with children will know that our desire is just for relationship with our kids. We don't want them to perform or do stuff for us. Okay, sometimes a back rub or a foot massage is nice. But other than that, you are just there to, you want them to have relationship with you. And that is a father's desire. Yeah, so essentially, I was like Titus 1, where it says, such as have a form of godliness, but are without the power. And that's why I want to ask you, if there's anyone this morning that want to be spirit-filled or baptized, then the opportunity is there for you to move from that place of being a slave to just being a son. If you're saved, you're saved, you're in the family, but just to get rid of that poverty mentality. So now let's talk about our inheritance. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage against fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Okay, so this is a mind-blowing idea that mortal human beings can be an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. So if I told you that, who's the richest person in the world now? My brother-in-law, Derek? Okay, Buffett. Still. So if I tell you that Yakuya is actually an heir of Warren Buffett, okay? He's also going to have to swat a lot of people away from him afterwards. And he'll get a lot of WhatsApps and little Facebook invites, etc. And, you know, his life is going to change and your perspective about him is going to change. But now, I can tell you that Marnus here is actually a joint heir with Christ. Just the next slide. So let this just sink in. It's the next one. So this man, myself, you guys that have entered the kingdom, are joint heirs with that man. That's our inheritance. I want that just to sink in. You know, we come to church, we go out here, we have coffee, talk a little bit of nonsense, we talk a bit of sense, and then we go home. But I want you just to look differently to yourself. When you look into the mirror later this day, tonight, I want you to spend a few seconds and look at yourself and then thank God, because this is not about us. I want you just to understand, it's not about promoting ourselves. It's just about honoring God in us this morning. Joint heirs with Christ, our Savior. And that must do more to your identity than being part of a rich family. Yes? This knowledge must do more to your identity than being part of a rich family. One of another wonder of our inheritance is the forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 10, verse 17. Their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. So God forgives, but he also forgets. So our God is omniscient. He knows everything. Everything you're thinking now, everything that worries you, he knows it all. But in himself, he has the ability to also forget. He has that power to forget. So he both... He forgives and He forgets. And that's a decision He makes about us to give us a new identity. So, Ephesians 1 verse 14 just continues. It's another part of our inheritance. It's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is God's guarantee, His deposit, that He will give us the inheritance He promised and that He has purchased us to be His own people. The Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He promised and that He has purchased us to be His own people. Amen. Okay, now I want to talk, why is it important for you to understand your identity? Just two examples. You all know when Jesus was baptized in Matthew 3. I'm going to read it to you, what happened thereafter. Just as an illustration, why it is important that we understand our identity. Matthew 3, verse 16, when He had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon Him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So an amazing event, God the Father speaking to His Son. Immediately, Matthew 4 verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward He was hungry. Now when the tempter came to Him, He said, "If You are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." So now, Satan, this is his attack on Jesus, and now he's immediately trying to tempt Him. He says, "If You are the Son of God, tell the stones to be bread. If You are the Son of God," verse 6, "throw Yourself down." And then, what's the last one? Verse 8, again the devil took Him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And He said to Him, "All these things I will give to You if you fall down and worship Me." So now He tries to buy Him off. So Jesus' identity is established. Immediately His identity is challenged. Then just a little joke there. All the what did He say there? Into bread. If you're going to tempt in this day and age, you can't go all carb on people, FYI. So, but Satan tried to tempt Jesus even with bread. Okay, so then the second example is Matthew 26. For those of you that have watched the movie The Passion will remember this section. And the high priest answered and said to Him, "I put You under oath by the living God. Tell us if You are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "It is as You said." Those of you who watched the movie, then the guy, he completely lost it. The high priest, he tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered and said, "He is deserving of death." So, Jesus' identity is confirmed, affirmed by His Father. Satan tempts Him. The reason for His crucifixion is because of who He said He was, who He believed He was. So, if identity was important to Jesus, it definitely is to us. Okay, lastly, I said earlier that as soon as you acknowledge your identity, you appear on the spiritual radar. Satan sees you. He realizes you're a threat to him. He notices you. But don't worry. The Word calls Him the accuser of the brethren. That's all He is. He just accuses us. So in that moment, you just stand on who you are. Reestablish these words. If you want the slides, I can give it to you. I hope otherwise, I hope you write them down. Read the Word. Reestablish who you are. And then, Revelation 20, verse 1 to 3. If He keeps on reminding you about your past, then it's easy. You just remind Him about His future. Revelation 20. Now, really, it might be funny, but I go through this a lot, where Satan tells me about my past, stuff I've done in the past, and then all you do is you say, "Okay, buddy, let's talk about you. Do you know where you're going? My past, I'm forgiven, my sins are forgiven, but you still have a few things to go through." So when people say, yeah, I'm going through a spiritual attack, I say, well, good for you. Then you're doing something right. You're on the spiritual radar. You know, the worst thing that someone can say is, no, for the last 5 years, I've just been cruising. I don't have any difficulties. I don't have any attacks. It's all just, it's a nice little comfort zone. I'm blessed. God is blessing me. That just means you're not on the spiritual radar. You're not making any waves. So if in this week or the weeks to come you experience an attack on your identity, then just reaffirm yourself in Christ. Allow Him to affirm you. Remind Satan where he's going, but don't talk to him. It's one-way communication. It's not a discussion. And affirm yourself in God. Allow the Spirit to...
Speak, you give power to the weak, you raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.